Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shkalim daf Yud Ches. We are holding on daf Yud Zayin and Beis. We are four lines from the end of the page at Tani Mizrach Umarav Ayin Nusun. And today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and also by Rabbi Ari and Rachi Mirzoff, Lila Nishmas, Rav Ruvain Ben Rav Chaim Alev Shalom, whose yard site is the 26th of Nisan, Nisham Shav and Aliyah. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So first we're going to finish up our discussion about the placement of the different menorahs and shulchanos, and as well as the mizbeach and the mizbeach hazav in the Beis HaMikdash, and then the Gemara is going to have machlokas where exactly the 10 menorahs of Shlomo were placed and whether they were used or not, because the placement is going to determine whether or not they were used. Then in Halacha Dalid, the Mishnah is going to talk about what each of the 13 shofaros were for, that there are 13 shofaros in the Mikdash, what was the function of each of them. We're also going to talk about the minimum amount for stam donations. If a person doesn't specify how much eitzim, lavona, zahav he's donating, what's the expectation or the requirement rather of what he has to give? And then the Gemara is going to tell us that that there was no shofar for chiyuve ofos. If one is chayiv a kan, an ola, and a chatas, so there's no shofar for that, because what were to happen if someone were to put money in that and then die, then you'd have a chatas hamesa, and that would ruin all of the rest of the money that were in that shofar, that were in that box. And then on Yud Ches Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about what happens with donations of eights and not eitzim, right? What if instead of saying I'm donating eitzim, person says eight, and also the size of each of the blocks of wood that one were to donate. We're going to give the source for a kometz minimum when a person makes a nedava of lavona to the Beis HaMikdash, and a machlokas how exactly you measure a kometz. A kometz is not an objective shear, it's subjective to the size of the hand of the person. So whose kometz do you use when it's just a nedava? Then the Gemara is going to have four opinions why it is that there were six different shofaros in the nedava. Where do we pull the number six from? So we're going to have four different opinions of where we got that number from of the shofaros l'nedava. So let's again pick up four lines from the bottom of the page on daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. So Tani Mizrach Umarav Ayin Nusunin, that the two rows of shulchanos were running lengthwise in the heichal from west to east. Divrei Rabbi, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Tzofan V'Darom Hayin Nesunin, that the two rolls of Shulchanos, their length was going widthwise, they were running widthwise in the Heichal from north to south. So that Machlokas is going to relate to the following. Mandyar Mizrach Umarev Nicha Kulan Ruyin L'Sherus. If you say that they ran east to west, I understand very well, they're all Ra'oi for Sherus. All of these Shulchanos are kosher to be Mesader the Lechem on, because they're all within the northern side, and the shulchan has to be betzafon, or whatever the shulchan you're going to use has to be betzafon. But man, the amr tzafon v'darom nimtza shulchan b'darom. But if it was running north south, then it turns out that the shulchan was b'darom, because if it's running north south, it's impossible for some of the shulchanos not to at least encroach on the southern side. So then you would only be able to use the one that Moshe Rabbeinu shulchan, and the rest of them weren't there for functioning, weren't there to be able to be used. So those two issues relate to each other. Exactly where they were set up and whether they were usable are issues that relate very much to each other. Umenorah betzafon. Then we said that the 10 menorahs that Shlomo HaMelech made, the menorah is supposed to be in the north, that those rows of menorahs go toward the north, while they're still kashal ha'adaka only on the, when they're in the south. So they would only use the one that Moshe Rabbeinu, they would only use Moshe Rabbeinu's menorah. So the length of the Mishkan, including the Kodesh HaKadoshim, is 30 amos, and the width was 10 amos. So the length of the Kodesh HaKadoshim on its own is 10 amos, and the length of the Kodesh is 20 amos. So if the whole Mishkan is 30 amos, Kodesh HaKadoshim is 10 amos in length, and the Kodesh is 20 amos in length. This is by the Mishkan. So the Gemara discusses the Shulchanos in the Beis HaMikdash, since we discussed with the Shulchanos that Shlomo Melech added in to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara is going to talk about the Shulchan of Moshe and all the other Kelim in the Mishkan, which was much more limited in terms of space. So the Haytani HaShulchan, so we learned in the Braisa that Vahatani HaShulchan HaYinosun Mechatzi HaBayis Vilifnim, that the Shulchan was within the inner 10 Amos of the Kodesh. It was not right up against the wall. It was Mashuch Min HaKosel Shtei Amos U'Mechza. It was 2.5 Amos off of the wall, but the Klapei Atzafon, it was on the northern side of the Kodesh, and Menorah Kenegdo Badarum, the Menorah in the corresponding area toward the south, on the southern side of the Kodesh, and the Menorah was also 2.5 Amos off of the wall. So Mizbech Hazav Ainosun Be'emtza Abayis, and the Mizbech Hazav was in the middle, Cholik Es Abayis, and it would split between the 10 outer Amos of the Kodesh and the 10 inner Amos of the Kodesh, Mechetzio V'lefnim, Mashuch Kima Klapei. And it was within the 10, it was in the middle, but it was in the 10 inner Amos, and the Mizbeach was between the Shulchan and the Menorah, except it was a little bit more Klapei Chutz, in order to be mafsik between the Shulchan and the Menorah. So while it was spaced between them, it was not directly in between them, it was off to the side a little bit, so it wouldn't be a direct interposition between the Shulchan and the Menorah. So this is where many of the poskim point out, we get the idea that the Shulchan, that in the Shul, the Bima is supposed to be Be'emtza, because the Mizbeach is Be'emtza Beis HaKnesses. This is something that the Chasam Sofer in the Tshuva makes a strong comment about, that this is absolutely critical, that the idea of Mikdash Ma'at is that so much of the setup, of the way we set up our Mikdash Ma'at, the way we set up our shuls, is patterned after the Beis HaMikdash. And the Chasam Sofer particularly comments about what the Kesef Mishnah writes, because the Rambam writes in Hilchus Tefillah and Nesias Kapayim that you put the bima be'emtza abayis in order that the person who's lanes or the ola should go up to the bima and everyone will be able to hear if it's be'emtza abayis. So Kesef Mishnah says al tishivein me'abima shabon abiyam me'ilu b'ksas mekamos b'sof be'sakneses v'lo be'emtza abayis. You're going to tell me, but you've seen shuls where the bima is at one end or the other of the shul and it is not be'emtza abayis. He says, not. You see from the Rambam that the idea of bima be'emtza abayis is only to make it easier to hear. If you have a massive synagogue, so no one's going to hear if the person is all the way in the front, so they will put the shulchan in the middle. So that's how the Kesef Mishnah says. So Chasam Sofer says, not true at all. He's very critical of this Kesef Mishnah. He says, what about our Gemara? It's very clear over here that this is the way the Mishkan was set up, and this way the Mikdash is set up, and therefore it's supposed to be the way that the Mikdash Ma'ad is set up. Of course, the Chasam Sofer was not just Stam commenting on this Kesef Mishnah. It was all a battle against reform, and that was one of the things that the reformers did, that they would move the bima to the front, and everything was done from the front, klape the am, as opposed to, you know, everyone talking to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So it was so that was one of the major changes that he was fighting. That's the a lot of what the Chasam Sofer writes is in his valiant efforts to fight the reform movement. So then the Gemara continues, v'kulan ayinasun mishlish habayis v'lifnim. All of the kelim were within the one third of the inner third of the bayis, that the length of the whole bayis together with the Kodesh HaKadoshim is 30 amos. So the 10 innermost amos are the shlish habayis v'lifnim. So when in the ratio, when we said michatzi habayis v'lifnim, we're only counting the Kodesh, which is 20 amos. So the 10 pnimios are michatzi habayis v'lifnim from a Kodesh perspective, but from a total perspective, it's mishlish habayis v'lifnim. It's one third into the to the bayis, not one half into the bayis. So now the Gemara goes back to the brayso that we said before that discussed the 10 additional shulchanos and menoros that Shlomo HaMelech added. So now we're going back to the Beis HaMikdash, right? So we were on the Mishkan for a little bit. Now back to the Beis HaMikdash. Eser menoros asa Shlomo. Shlomo HaMelech made 10 menoros. Shenemar v'yasas menoros hazav eser k'mishpatam v'yitin beheichal chamish miyamin v'chamish mismol. So the Gemara says, wait a second, chamish miyamin v'chamish mismol. What does that mean? In Tamer, if you can say that the menoros were running lengthwise on the southern from the south to the north of the Heichal, so Chamish B'Tzafon V'Chamish B'Darum, that means five of them are in the north and five of them are in the south, but that can't be. V'Aloeina Menorah K'sheira El B'Darum, the menorah has to be B'Darum, it's not kosher if it's in the north. Shenemar V'Esa Menorah Noch HaShulchan Al Yerach HaMishkan Teimana. So over here you have five menorahs that are going to be on the north side, so Matam L'Avr Chamish Mimin V'Chamish Mismal. So what does does it mean when it says chamish miyamin v'chamish mismal? Ella chamish miyamin min arasa shel Moshe v'chamish mismala. No, it means right and left, not from when you walk in, right and left corresponding to Moshe Rabbeinu's menorah, five to the right and five to the left. So the length of each menorah, we said, was two amos. So if each row had five menorahs, so altogether it would be 10 amos of menorahs. But the metzias has to be that each row has to be a little longer than 10 amos, because you need space in between the menorahs, at least some wiggle room in between the menorahs. There's no way they could have compressed them in such a way. So it turns out that the two rows of menorahs at least partially encroached on the northern side, where you're not allowed to have a menorah. So Afal Pikein, even though the menorahs were really mostly in the south, the only one they would actually use and they're actually light is Moshe Rabbeinu's menorah. Because as long as any of the menorahs are encroaching into the northern side where it's possible, so that tells you that those kinds of menorahs are not meant to be used. The one that's meant to be used is the menorah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Shenemar, Pasuk says, the menorah says, Avinirosel, Levair Be'erev Shabbos. So the fact that it says menorahs, Loshon Yachid, even though there were so many menorahs, but it says menorahs, so you see that there was only one functioning menorah, even though there were so many other menorahs. So then the Gemara says, not everyone agrees to that. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he says that that's not true, that the two rows of menorahs were not like Rabbi Lezer said, midorum l'tzafon, from south to north, but like Rabbi said, that they run from west to east. And the first row was lengthwise from west to east on the inner part of the Tzela Hadromus, 2.5 amos from the southernmost wall. And the 2.5 amos that were mafsik between one shura and the next shura, in addition to, and then they had another five menorahs. So the menorah of Moshe was in that space between one shura and the other. So it turns out that the two rows of menorahs were entirely in the south and didn't encroach on the north at all. And therefore, al kula no yamavish, nemar ves ha-menorahs v'neroseyem levarim that it says that menorahs in plural, so they were allowed to use all of them from the fact that it says Alashon Rabim. You see, they were all kosher to light the neros. So if the Tanakama would have to say that no, when we say menorahs, it means that there were many menorahs present, but not that they would actually light multiple menorahs. The only menorah that would get lit was the one of Moshe Rabbeinu. But Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and he thinks that all of them were in fact usable. So once we mention that pasuk, the following pasuk then tells us in Divrei Hayamim, Va'perach v'aneros ha'melachayim zav hu michlos zahav. So what does michlos mean? Hein kilu zahavo shel girsa issue over here, but probably Shlomo, that they finished up Shlomo Melech's gold, meaning by dedicating so much gold to building these menorahs, there was no gold left. So how do you use up so much gold? Shlomo Melech was a time of great wealth and for Klal Yisrael, for Shlomo Melech in particular. So the Gemara explains just how refined this gold was. So Tan Rabbi Yehuda b'Shem Asi Hayishlomo Notel Elef Kikari Zahav Umachnisan Lekur Umotzian Achuma Midan Al Echad. He would take 1,000 Kikari Zahav and refine it and refine it and refine it until it would be whittled down to just one Kikar Zahav, 1/1,000th of its original volume. Lekayim Mashnemar, or its original weight. Lekayim Mashnemar Kikar Zahav Tar Asa Osa. So you see that it was just Kikar Zahav Tar that he made it. So that's why he used up all of his gold. So Gemara says, Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, Maisa Benor Zahav, Shasa Moshe Bamidbar, Vaisi Yaseira Dinar Zahav. One time Moshe Rabbeinu, when he made the menorah in the Midbar, he realized that it had one extra dinar from the exact shear of a Kikar Zahav that the menorah was supposed to be made out of. V'chnisu alakor shmonim pam v'lo chasru klum. And he put it through the kiln another 80 times and it wasn't chasar anything. So if you say that the Elef Kikari Zav that they put in 1,000 times was nechsar to the point that it's only Kikar Echad, so each time l'chora it should be going down a Kikar. Every time you put it through the kiln it should be going down a Kikar. So how could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu put it through 80 times and nothing happened? It wasn't chasar klum, it wasn't chasar anything? Says Gemara, that's not a kasha. V'yalus adelo yakum al-barare have a chasar sagan min dukayim al-barare lo chasar. chasuklum, that once it's fully refined, there's nothing else to come out. There are no impurities left to be removed. So that's what we were commenting about Moshe Rabbeinu, that the menorah that Moshe Rabbeinu made was so pure that when he put it through a kiln 80 times, nothing happened to it. But when Shlomo HaMelech started, it had to go through 1,000 times in order to get down to that one kikar. In the Briska Rav, in the Grizal HaTorah, he explains the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu had such trouble with the Ma'isa menorah, even though we found Shlomo HaMelech apparently didn't have so much trouble. He made 10 of them. And in Bayis Sheni, they made Shnei menorahs, because the Kaftorim and the Prachim and the Kikar Zav is Ma'akev Ludoros, but the shear of the size of the Prachim and the Kaftorim, that's not stated explicitly. And Ludoros, you can make them at whatever size you want. But by the menorah of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Tavnis, that it has to be in a certain image, a certain Tzura, and the size of the Prachim and the Kaftorim in exact precision had to be built with exactly the size that Kadosh Baruch Hu dictated. So that must be where Moshe had trouble. Meaning what the Brisker is essentially doing is he's saying, wait a second, if Shlomo HaMelech made 10 of them, how could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't figure out how to make one? That Moshe Rabbeinu had to be shown a menorah shel eish, and he has to throw the gold into the fire and the menorah comes out. How could it be that he couldn't figure it out? So he says, well, let's see. What was the difference between menorahs Ludoros and the menorah of Moshe Rabbeinu? And whatever that difference is, that must be where he had trouble. So he said the difference must have been in the godel and the size of the kaftorim and the prakim, because that must have been the hard part to be able to measure exactly or to get it to the exact size that you're supposed to have. So that's how the Brisker Rav writes. Okay, says the Mishnah now. Shalosh asa shofaros hayu b'mikdash. There were 13 boxes. When we say shofaros, as we mentioned before, they were shaped wide at one at the bottom and narrow at the top. So that's why they're called shofaros. It has nothing to do with a shofar. It didn't really look like a shofar in any other way, other than the fact that it was narrow at one end and wide at the other end. It's just a way of saying boxes where they would put money. So there were 13 boxes where they would deposit money in the Mikdash. V'kasav aleihen, and each one was labeled, and here we're going to go through the list of all of them. One of them was labeled Tiklin Chadatin, the new shkalim. Second one was labeled Tiklin Atikin, the old shkalim. Third one was labeled Kinin. Fourth one, V'gozle Ola. Fifth one, Eitzim. Sixth one, Livona. Seventh one, Zav LaKaporis. So there are a total of 13. There are six left. Shisha LeNedava. Then there are six other boxes that are just for Nedava. So if a person wants to give a Nedava, they will leave it in the six other boxes. And as we said, the Gemara is going to have four different Shitos as to why they chose six Dafka for Nedava. So Tiklin Chadatin Shabakol Shana V'Shana, the function of the box that said Tiklin Chadatin. It was at each and every year when people would come and give them Maksa Shekel. So they would put it in this shofar, and then the gizbarim would come and take it and put it into the lishcha, and then they would proceed as we described earlier in the Masechta Va'atikin. And the box of Tiklin Atikin was Mishalo Evi Yishtaket Shokel Shana Aba, someone who didn't bring last year's chiyuv of Maksa Shekel, so he could still make it up by bringing it and putting it in the box of Tiklin Atikin. Kinin, when the box that said Kinin, Hein Torin. That's the birds that the Gizbarim would buy, Ophos, they would buy Torin, and the Gozle Ola, Hein Bnei Yona. And the box that said Gozle Ola, they would dafka buy Bnei Yona. They would not buy any Torin, would only buy Bnei Yona. And Torin are larger birds also, and Bnei Yona are smaller birds. So the Kulan Olos, but all of them are Karbanos Ola. But if you bring them for your Chiyuv, then whenever you have a Chiyuv of bringing a Kan, you always have to bring one Chatos, one Ola. So that didn't go into these boxes. Div Rabbi Yudah, that's Rabbi Yudah Shita V'Cham, Mom Rim L'Cham disagreed. They said, Kinin, Echol Chatos V'Echol Ola, Gozei Ola, Kulan Olos. So Gozei Ola, Eino Chinami, that's going to be all Olos. But Kinin, a lot of times you would bring, if someone is Chayiv to bring a Kan, they bring one Chatos, one Ola. So maybe if you had a Chiyuv to bring a Kan, you would drop all the money in this box and you would know that they would have one Chatos and one Ola brought for you. So that's machlokas. Can you bring a chatas from the money that was left in the boxes? Now, the shofar for money for Eitzim was for Eitzim for the Ma'aracha. So, Ha'omer Harei Alai Eitzim. If a person says he's going to take a Nadava to give Eitzim, but he doesn't say how much he's going to give, so lo yivchos mishnei gzirin. He's got to give at least two blocks of wood, because that's what they needed to put on the maracha each and every morning. So, and you'd put the money, the value of two blocks of wood, in that shofar. Levona, if a person says he's committing to give levona, lo yivchos mikometz, he has to give at least a kometz of levona. Zahav, a person says stam, he's going to give zahav, lo yivchos midinar zahav, he has to give at least a dinar zahav. Shisha l'nedava, then we said there are six boxes of kol nedava. Nedava mayu osinba, what would they do with all the money in the box that were for nedava? So lochimba olos and habasar l'shem va'oros l'kohanim, they would buy kabbalas olah for ketzam mizbeach. Whenever the mizbeach was otherwise unoccupied, they would buy karbanos, and the olos would go for and the basar would go for Hashem, and the oros would go for kohanim. Zem midrash shorashi yada kohen gadol. So the Mishnah brings a makkah for the idea that the money for nedava would be used to purchase karbanos olah, that the meat would go to Hashem and the oros would go to kohanim. So the pasuk says asham hu asham asham la Hashem. So the beginning of the pasuk is asham hu. Sounds like it has the dinim of an asham, which is fed to male kohanim. And the end of the pasuk says asham la Hashem. Sounds like it all gets burnt on the mizbeach like karbanola. So zeh klal kol shu ba mishum chatos mishum ashma. Anytime you have something that was designated for a chatos or for an asham, the leftovers of a chatos or of an asham, if you designated money for a chatos or an asham, and there was too much money, you have more money than you needed, so that goes in the nedava. So what do? You lakach ben olos. You buy karbanos olah with it. Basar l'Hashem. And then what happens with the karbanos olah? The meat goes to Hashem. Va'oros l'kohanim. And the oros go to kohanim. Nimtzu shnei ksuvin kayamin. So that, therefore, both parts of the pasuk work. Asham l'Hashem and Asham l'Kohen. It's an Asham l'Hashem because the basar is entirely l'Hashem. And it's Asham l'Kohen because the Kohen gets the oros. So everyone's happy. Ve'omer. And the pasuk says, we could explain the different pasuk with the same idea. Kesef Hashem, Kesef Chatos, Lo Yuva Beis Hashem, La Kohanim Yiyu. So it can't be what it sounds like, saying that the Kesef is given to the Kohanim. It's Hukdash for a Chatos or for an Hashem. You can't take money that was designated for a Chatos or for an Hashem and start distributing it to Kohanim. You also can't buy behemos and be makar of a Chatos and Hashem with it, because if the Bailam already got their Chatos and Hashem, they already brought their Chatos and Hashem, they already have their Kapara. So they can't just volunteer to bring another Chatos or another Hashem. Those aren't Kaparas that you volunteer. So what do? You take the extra money that was originally designated for a chatas rashim, but you didn't need to use all of it. You take the extra money and you buy karbanos olah for ketzam mizbeach, so the kohanim could be nana from the oros. So the kohanim do get something from it. They just don't get the whole thing. They don't get the basa. They just get the oros. So now says the Gemara, we said according to Rabbi Yehuda, the shofaros were for only those who brought Torah and Bnei Yonah that are going to be brought as karbanos olah, but not for people who are chayiv to bring one chatos and one olah. We don't have any chatos money according to Rabbi Yehuda in those shofaros. So Tanya, Amr Rabbi Yehuda loy shofar shel kinyan b'Yerushalayim mipnei atarovos. They didn't have a shofar for someone who's chayiv to bring a kan, meaning someone who has to bring one chatos, one olah, because then all the chatos money is going to be mixed in with the olah money, and that's a problem because shema tomos achas v'nim tzu d'mei chatos meisos muravos ben. What if one of the women who was a zava or a yoledes or whatever, who had to bring a kan, who had to bring a chatas and an ola, she puts money in the box and then she dies. So then that money that was designated for a chatas as a din of chatas shemesu ba'aleha, which the halacha is the animal goes l'misa and the dmei chatas goes l'yam ha-melech, meaning if you have an actual animal of a chatas shemesu ba'aleha, you'd have to let the animal go l'misa. If you have money of a chatas shemesu ba'aleha, it goes l'yam ha-melech. So now all that money is going to be mixed in together with all the other money. So it's going to passel everything, and there's everything that's in the box. So Rabbi Yehuda holds, someone who's chayiv to bring a chatas gives that money directly to a kohen. Don't just drop it in a shofar somewhere where there's going to be a tarovus with everything else. V'atayni yisha shamar areya laikan meviyat mekan v'nosantu b'shofar. But wait a second, doesn't the Brisa tell us that if a woman is chayiv a kan, that's exactly what she should do? She should drop it into a shofar. So v'alchelos b'kachim, and then that evening she can rest assured that everything was brought properly and she could eat kachim that night. Ve'eino chosesh Hashem nesatzel ben. And she doesn't have to worry that maybe the carbon wasn't brought, because you could assume Kohanim's reason name. If you gave them the task of bringing your kan, by that evening they already brought your kan. And ve'ena kohen choshe shema demei chatos mesos muravos ben. And the kohen doesn't have to worry that maybe the person who dropped the money here has died and therefore he can't be makriv the carbon chatos. No, he can be makriv becheskas that the person is alive. So we don't find that Rabbi Yehuda Yehuda disagrees with that. So apparently we're not so concerned that somebody's going to die. So how could it be that Rabbi Yehuda over here is saying that don't drop the money of a chatas into a box because you never know, the person might die? Apparently we're not so concerned that they're going to die before the carbon is brought. So says Mar Kikar Min b'chatos shemesu ba'alein vaday. No, when Rabbi Yehuda says he's choshesh, he's not choshesh shema yamos, that the person might die. No, what choshesh is what happens when someone actually dies, meaning if we know that a person dies, that someone who dropped money in the shofar dies. It's not that by dropping money in the shofar, it's going to automatically stifle any kohen from bringing karbanos because of a chashash, who knows, maybe someone died. But if it actually were to happen, that would be a problem. If it actually were to happen where we know that one of the people died, so then all the money are going to passel, all the money is going to become passel al yaday, the money that was designated for the chatas. So the Gemara asks another kashan, Rabbi Yehuda, v'i amrinan nivrar arbazuze v'nishte benahara. So you might say, well, wait a second, what's the big deal? You have a little bit of chatas money, so take whatever amount of money is for the chatas, take out that amount, and throw that into the Yamamelech, and then you'll have gotten rid of the chatas money. It's all money, money is interchangeable, one to the, so just throw it all in, v'i doch l'shtaru, and then the rest of the money is going to be mutter. I mean, you're telling me you're going to have this unsolvable problem. Someone's dropping chatas money in, and what happens if they drop dead? It's not so unsolvable. You take out some money and you throw it into the Yamamelech. Says Mar Amrina bi Alma, Rabbi Yehuda lesle Breira. We generally assume Rabbi Yehuda rejects the concept of Breira. So if you take the money out of the, if you're taking the wrong money, so it doesn't work. You have to take the money that was originally designated for the chatas, but the Rabbanan disagree, and they hold that there is a din of Breira, and therefore they were the Rabbanan held that you're allowed to put in the chatos money into the boxes because of the because they're not concerned of Breira. And Tos Yeshanim and the Ritva and Tos Rashi Masachz Yuma write that Breira doesn't help to be matir isurim, that all isurim in the Torah that get mixed in and there's not enough of a shear of heter to be mevatel liyisur, everything is going to be awesome. I mean, we have concept of bittul when it comes to a tarovis. You have bittul barov, you have bittul b'shishim. When you don't have a shear bittul, when you don't have enough to be mevatel, I have a little milk that falls into my chicken soup, but it's more than 1/60th, so it's going to trafe up the whole chicken. So why don't I just say, okay, how much was it? I have 60 ounces of chicken soup, 5 ounces of milk fell in, I'll take out 5 ounces, I'll spill that down the drain, and I'll say, Breira, the 5 ounces that I took out are the milk, and that way it will go down the... No, you can't say that by a taroves of Isser Veheter. Breira doesn't work to be matir when you don't have a sheer Isser. You can't just take a sheer that equals the Isser and say that this must be the Isser and the rest is going to be a heter. It's only when you do a Maisa and you don't know what the Maisa is on, so it's you could be Mavar afterwards, that the Asiya that I did yesterday was Chal on a particular thing. So that's what the Gemara means. Like, well, where do we have Breira? By setting up an Eruv. That you want to set up an Eruv an Eruv Tchumen so that you're able to travel more than Al Payamama. So but you're not sure which direction you're going to need to travel. You know there's a chacham that's coming to a neighboring community and you want to be able to hear the chacham, or maybe you dafka want to be able to not hear the chacham, you want to go to the other community, whatever it is, whatever your kavanas are. So you set up, let's say you want to go here, but you're not sure if he's coming Litzafan or Lidarum. So you set up an Erev Litzafan, you set up an Erev Lidarum on Erev Shabbos, and then you want to rely on Breira. Whichever place he comes to, that's where you want the Erev to be Chal. That's where you apply Breira. You never apply Breira to something that involves Bittul. So this is a little bit of a challenging application of Breira, what we're saying over here. They're going to take money that's mixed in with other money. This is a taroves. It's a taroves of money with other money. So mehechi tesi that all of a sudden you could rely on Breira. So it's sort of like an in-between case. It's a little bit tricky. So what you have to say is that what the Gemara means is that they made the Tanai when they originally put it in, that the Kedusha was al Tanai, that this money is going to be needed to be used for a Chatas. And then, since the whole thing was only al Tanai anyway, that's what there's a big discussion also when we showed them what the difference is between Tanai and Breira. But once you introduce Tanai, it makes it a lot easier to contend with over here. Okay, so now says the Gemara Vayter, Rabbi Yosef Be Rabbi Bon Amar, Rabbi Ba Bar Mamal Kamal Ba'i, that he raised the following shayla. Can you be medayik from the Mishnah that only if you say Harei Alai Eitzim, Beloshon Rabim, that's when you have to bring Shnei Gizrei Eitzim. But Amar, Harei Alai Eitz, if he says Harei Alai Eitz, Beloshon Yachid, maybe Gezer Echad. Maybe you only bring one block of wood, and it's not considered to be a half of a carbon, because one block of wood is a carbon also, or maybe not. Maybe that the minimum of wood that one can ever donate is Shnei Gizrei Eitzim, and even if you use the Lashon Yachid, you're still going to have to bring two. So the Gemara answers, Amre Blazar Masnisa Amrakein. From the Mishnah, Maseches Yuma, we could prove Shezek carbon b'fnei atzmo, v'zek carbon b'fnei atzmo, that each block of wood is considered its own separate carbon. Kehayde Tanin Taman, because the Mishnah is going to tell us that the Tamashal Ben Arbayim had 11 Kohanim involved in its Hakrava, so there were 9 of them involved in bringing the actual carbon, and Shnayim B'yadim Shnei Gizrei Eitzim, and the remaining two Kohanim would each have Gizrei Eitzim, so the Gizrei Eitzim, so carbon the Rabbis is Eitzim, that includes the Eitzim that were already on the Maracha. So from the fact that each Kohen only brought a Gizir Eitz Echa, they only brought one block of wood, so you see, each one block of wood is considered a carbon, Bifnei Atzmo, and therefore, if a person doesn't say Eitzim, he says, I'm being Menadev Eitz, he could bring just one block of wood. Rabbi Shimon Levi Amar, Ovion Amma, Ba'ama Sochekes, Va'arkan Ba'ama Geduma. Rabbi Shimon Levi says, even though these Gezir Eitzim were one Amma by one Amma, they were not a square. You would imagine, if it's one Amma by one Amma, it's a perfect square. He says, no, because there are different ways of measuring an Amma. Well, wait a second, we already know there are different ways of measuring an Amma. There are 5 Tefach Ammas and there are 6 Tefach Ammas. No, that's not what we're talking about over here. We're talking about how to measure the Tefach with which you measure the Amma. Not the discrepancy over here is not that in one direction it's a 5 Tefach Amma and the other direction is 6 Tefach Amma. The discrepancy is that a Tefach is the size of your hand, of your fist, when you hold your hand like this, from the bottom of your pinky to the top of your thumb. But you can hold your hand very tight, or you can loosen up a little bit, and that will change the size just a little bit. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda says, that the ovion of the Gizrei Eitzim was an amma b'amma sochekes, with a smiling amma, just like when you smile, your mouth is open a little bit, so it's a little bit of an opening between the fingers, it's a little bit of a larger tefach. But va'arkan, the length was ba'amma geduma, it was with a closed amma, with a tefach that's mitzumtzum. Rabbi Choni b'shem Rabbi Ami k'min torsini. Rabbi Choni says in the name of Rabbi Ami that the Gizrei Eitzim were exactly even, they were exactly a square. So machlokas, whether they were exactly a square or not. So the Gemara brings a reason why it would be that the length was an amma geduma. Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Yitzchak l'fi shaloa yamakom maracha ela amma alam. It had to be an exact square and had to be the smallest, most compact amma in both directions possible, because in the mizbeach that Moshe Rabbeinu made, the mizbeach Moshe Rabbeinu made was not nearly as large as the mizbeach that they had in the Beis Hamikdash. The mizbeach of the Mishkan, the whole top of the mizbeach was only 5 amos by 5 amos. So the room that was left to actually have Eitzim there was only 1 amma by 1 amma. So if your blocks of wood are larger than 1 amma by 1 amma, it's not going to fit. So lefichach lo yebo ela amma geduma. That's why the Gezira Eitzim were 1 amma by 1 amma in the most mitzumtzum way. So v'tanikein, and we have a raya from the Brisa. V'tanikein is like a tani nami achi, that amma yisod, they have an amma of the width of the yisod of the Mizbeach, then Amma Sovev, an Amma where the Kohanim would walk, and Amma Karkov, the middle part of the Mizbeach where the Kohanim would walk, and Amma Karkov, the Amma on the top where the Kohanim would walk, the Amma Kronos, and an Amma of the Kronos of Mizbeach, the Amma Maracha, and that only left a 1 Amma by 1 Amma square in the middle for the Maracha. Meaning, if you say that the Kohanim were walking in 1 Amma, that's really 2 Ammas, because they had to be able to walk all the way around. So if the very top of the Mizbeach, leaving out the Soviv and the Yisod, the very top of the Mizbeach was 5 Amos by 5 Amos, so then you're going to say that there's an Amma of Karkov where the Kohanim walks, that takes away 2 Amos, and the Amma of the Kronos, well, start with the Kronos, the Amma of the Kronos takes away 2 Amos because that's on all sides, and then an Amma Karkov where the Kohanim walk takes away another 2 Amos, so you're only left with 1 Amma in the middle. Okay, so now says the Gemara, Levona Leivchas Mikometz, that if a person says Harei Alai Levona, he commits to bring Levona to the Beis Hamikdash, he has to give at least a kometz. And Nemar Kanas Kara, the pasuk says by Levona, it says Ves Kala Levona Shalom in Chavik Ter Mizbeach Reich Nichoch Askara Sa LaHashem V'Nemar LaHalon Askara, and it says by the Lechem HaPanim also such a lashon of Askara, it says Vaisalechem Laas Kara Ishe Hashem. So Ma'as Askara Hamala Alon, just by the Lechem Apanim, we know it's Melo Kometz. We know how much it is. It's a Kometz of Lavona. So too, Afaskara Merkan. So too, when you take an Adava that you're going to give Lavona, it's Melo Kometz. How do I know that when it comes to the lechem apanim that it's a kometz? So the Torah's Kadim has a drasha that's learned from another place where it says askara. By the Minchas Chote, it says v'kamatz hakoyin mimena melokum tzo es askarasa. So it all starts with the Minchas Chote. So from the Minchas Chote, I learned to the lechem apanim. From the lechem apanim, I learned to any nedava of Lavona that it's always got to be a kometz. So that's going to be important in a second. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second. Yeah, if I'm learning the shir when I'm in Nadev Lavona that it's from Lechem Apanim, imaskara amar la alan shnei kometzin afaskara amar kan shnei kometzin. By Lechem Apanim, you need two kometzes because of Lavona. So should you say the same thing over here that it's got to be two kometzin when you're Menadev? So it says Gemara, Amar Rabbi Ila. No, go back to the original source. How do I know that it's even a kometz by the Lechem Apanim? I only know that from Minchas Chote. By Minchas Chote, it's only one kometz. So Mela, when I take a Nedavid, it also is only going to be one kometz. Malalan, kometz achaser pasul, afkam, kometz achaser pasul. Says Gemara, and there are halachas that we derive from the fact that it comes from Minchas Chote. Just like by Minchas Chote, if it's anything less than a kometz, it's pasul. So too, if you're Menadev Levona, you have to bring a kometz shalem. And if you bring anything less, if it's kometz chaser, it's pasul. Amr Rabbi Yosef Milsad Rabbi Ila Amra, from Rabbi Ila, who explains that Lavona is learned from Minchas Chote, HaMisnadiv Lavona Mavir Bekumtzu Shal Kohen, that if you're Misnadiv Lavona, you bring from the Kometz of the Kohen, because Minchas Chote is definitely based on the Kometz of the Kohen, since he's the one that's Makrovit. But Rabbi Chizkiah B'Sheh, so if you're Menadivit, you might think, well, I'm just giving an Adava over here, there's no carbon to speak of. So what do you mean? I'm going to take the Kometz of the Kohen. I would think I would just take my own Kometz and use that based on my own hand size. Rabbi Chizkiah B'Sheh Rabbi Yirmiyah, I feel the kometz of Bailim. And that's, in fact, Rabbi Chizkiah B'Sheh Rabbi Yirmiyah says that you could use the kometz of the Bailim. There is no Kohen to identify. There's a girsa over here, kometz shel Kohen Gadol. So there's a question in Achronim what that means. The Gra says it must mean the Kohen Gadol, but he says there's no reason why it should be the Kohen Gadol, and therefore he's mochik the girsa. Whereas some of the other Achronim, Tikkun Chantin, says, no, Kohen Gadol means a large Kohen. It means because of the kometz is going to be, you want the biggest possible kometz. So the way to get the biggest possible kometz is to get the biggest possible kohen. So that's the discussion in the Shirim Shel Torah. He tries to figure out that a kometz is supposed to have two kezesim, but based on the kezesim that we have, the kometz seems to be much smaller than shnei kezesim. So he says it must be that they only had large kohanim doing kemitza in the Beis Hamikdash. They had people with very big hands doing kemitza. So he said, but nowadays people are smaller and we don't have people with such big hands. What's going to happen? Meheri Yibana Hamikdash, and the kemitza is not going to be kosher, it's not going to be the proper shir kmitza. So it's just like a Kodesh Baruch Hu could bring the geula, a Kodesh Baruch Hu could bring us big kohanim. So we'll be able to do it. That's how the Shirim Shel Torah writes. Okay. Shishal l'nedava. So what are the shishal l'nedava for? Why would they have six dafka for nedava? So chiski amar keneged shisha batayavos, corresponding to the six batayavos that worked each day in the Beis Hamikdash. Meaning if they all shared one box and then just one day there wasn't enough keitz hamizbeach, there were so many karbanos brought that there was no keitz hamizbeach, so then that day's Beis Av wouldn't get anything. They wouldn't get any oros. So that way, they had one box designated for each of the Batei Avos, so no one was taken from anybody else's money. Rabbi Padya Amar, Keneged Shesh Behemos, it corresponds to the six animals that are brought as a korban. Par, Egel, Sayer, Ayil, Gedi, Tlep, that's why he had six boxes. Shmuel Amar, third shita, what do they have six boxes for? So says Shmuel, connected shisha karbanos, corresponding to the six types of karbanos that the extra money was nofel in Adava. So the first one was kinei zavim v'kinei zavos. The extra money from kinei zavim v'kinei zavos, they would bring echad chatos v'echad yola. Second one was kinei yoldos. Yoldos who are wealthier, that would bring a keves yola and a ben yono or a tor l'chatos. So that extra money. And the third one was chata'os, that a si'ir or a kisva, and va'ashamos. The fourth one was for ashamos, for an ayil, and va'menachos, a menachos of chote, that brings bedalei dalos, that is poor, so brings only a carbon mincha, va'asir seifa. And the sixth box was for the extra asir seifa of the kohen gadol, that he was mafresh each and every day, that if there was a little extra money one day, he couldn't use it the next day, so he put it in this box. And then a fourth sheet of why why we had six boxes. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, the reason they had so many boxes of nedava is al yideisha nedava meruba ribula shofros harbe. That since there were so many nedavos, they had a lot of shofaros, so that the money shouldn't rust or turn bad. Because if they would put it all in one box, the money that was stuck at the bottom from the moisture, I guess from the sweat of people's hands or whatever else, whatever other natural moisture there was from the other money, it would ruin the money that was at the bottom if it stayed stuck at the bottom of a box. So therefore, they had six. When you have six shofaros, it could be spread out evenly and it could be airy enough that the money is not going to get ruined. It doesn't really fully explain why six. Meaning the other first three explanations explain why we dafka chose the number six. This one just says a lot. They needed a lot of boxes in order to make sure that the money was spread out. Okay, Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up from there. Have a great day, everyone.